Please open your Bibles to Philippians 2. We'll be reading verse 5 through 11. And stand with me. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God hath exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'll also be reading Isaiah 1:18. It says, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." Pray with me. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the time that you've given us to worship you and to serve you. I pray for the service. I pray for the sermon that Mitch is about to give. Give him clarity. Help his heart to be still as he preaches your word. Give him the words to say. I pray for our hearts. We are nothing. We are unworthy of you. We do not deserve the gift that you have given us. Help us to listen, and help us to not be distracted. And I pray these things in your name. Amen.
I am so excited to be here today. This is my first ever Christmas sermon, and it is quite an honor. Christmas has been a difficult time for me for 20 years, and it's nothing like what most of you guys go through. Those of you who have lost loved ones, those of you who you're in this world. You're in this world that has been affected by sin. When Adam sinned, death entered this world, and the whole world started to decay. And sin is so opposite of God. Sin is so devastating that it can't help but affect everybody. I'm starting off this kind of I'm not painting a picture. It is the picture. It is a dark picture. But my goal in this is the darker it is, the light of the Lord overpowers it every time. A millionfold. But while you're in the midst of the darkness, we have some of the most wonderful things that we have the most wonderful God to turn to. And as you guys are thinking about Christmas, it's really easy to fall into the trap of searching for the what of Christmas and not the who. And that goes so many more layers deep than just the typical hustle and bustle. And I was part of that. I was in retail for 20 years. And that is a difficult field to be in at Christmas time. especially when you're working another job in ministry. I despised Christmas. I mean, you work so many hours. And they expect it. They say, okay, you only have to work your 48. But then they give you the schedule, and it's required. And you're like, required this day, this day, this day, this day, this night, this day, this day, this night. And you can have this half day off. And you're like, that's 72 hours. But I'm only required 48. How does that work? And they're like, just do the requirements. Like, okay. I love salary. Do we have the picture of the snow scene? Maybe not. The last church I was at, they did an Advent calendar. And in the midst of working in that calendar, I was asked to write part of it. And we had different people in the church that would write each day a devotional for families to go over as a family as it got closer and closer to Christmas to remind us of what Christmas was. And I remember they asked me to do it. And I wrote it on a white Christmas. And in that thought, I'm from the North. I've been down in the South long enough that I claim it. Some people don't accept me, but I still claim it. It's been 20 plus years that I've been down here, but I've lived all across the country. And in many of those places, you got snow. I know that actually what I'm talking about here might bring back anxiety for you all because of a couple of years ago. But there was always this desire to see the snow. And I don't know if you guys have ever experienced it. I'm sure a lot of you have. But when you walk, when you open your door, and maybe you didn't even know it snowed the night before, but you open your door. Me and Andy lived in Missouri, the last time that I experienced this. And we had this giant field that was behind us and all these tree lines that were back there. And I opened the door and there's about 4 inches of fresh snow. And then as you open that door, it just smells so crisp. It muffles all the whatever smells that it's covering up. You see the weight of the limbs as they're holding the tree and everything is just still. It is one of my favorite feelings that I get from that. As you walk out, you feel the crispness of the air. The scent is indescribably pure. The sight line, the pureness of the white is beautiful. And it gives you this sense of peace. And in this world, those are the type of things that you want. Those of you that are struggling in your families, those of you that are struggling with jobs, those of you who are struggling with illness, those things are here because of sin entering this world. We see death because of sin. And even though those of us who know Christ, we're not immune to the effects of sin on this world. And so here we are living in that. And so why I'm here today is I pray that we will think about Him in Christmas, and then we're going to go into Philippians 4. And we're going to open up the blueprints to peace. So I pray that this message is not about what we get from God, but who He is, and therefore what we, in the byproducts of who He is, we are able to partake in. That is my hope. So, when we looked at, first of all, I want you guys to think about, and we're going to be talking about this, and actually I'll just read that one part in Philippians 4. You guys don't have to turn there yet, but you will be soon. He says, in the second part of 6, it's about the be anxious for nothing. And we will be talking about that. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What does it mean that our God wants to communicate with us? Do you see the other gods of the other religions? They're cold. Our God is relational. Our God wants to interact with us, not from some superficial need that he has of us. He doesn't need us at all. But yet, when you see the fact that he knows absolutely everything about us, he knows us better than we know ourselves, he wants us to communicate to him. Not to tell him something he doesn't know, but because he desires a relationship with us. Do you see in Christmas a little bit about our God? What is it? What are the characteristics of a God that wants to talk to us? Quickly contrasting that with like Allah. Allah doesn't talk to any created thing. And not only that, and I want you guys to think about this in other religions that have this problem. He tells us to talk to him directly. There is no mediator between God and man. We don't have to pray to Mary. We don't have to pray to saints. We pray directly to him. What characteristics of our God does that show? How unique is that? How beautiful is that? It even says in Romans 8, as you look, it talks about how our prayers are feeble, but the Holy Spirit fixes them and Jesus brings them to the feet of the Lord. He knows that we stink at praying. He knows it. And yet, the prayers that he puts at the feet of the Lord are perfect because of him. Remember, this is about him. It's not about what it gives us. What characteristics does it say that he fixes even in our feebleness always? All right, so going back to Philippians 2, it says, have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's verse 5. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Why would our God do this? So he wants to communicate with us, and then not only that, he goes even farther. We aren't even worthy to communicate with him, and yet that's what he has established. And then he comes down to walk among us as us. As us. And what do we see? He's proclaiming the truth. He's healing. He is teaching. He is calling people, as it says in the beginning of Mark, to repent and believe the gospel. What does that say about our God? As I sat and pondered this, if I was God, and I told this to the youth this morning, if I was God, every time they use my name as a curse word, I would wipe them off the map. You would see people falling left and right. And you'd say, yeah, go ahead, try to say it. I dare you. Done. That's my sinful flesh.
That is not our God. Praise the Lord. But yet, he still shows flashes to let us know how holy and righteous he is. What happened when the couple came in and lied about how much they gave? Dead. What happened when the person touched the Ark of the Covenant when it was dead? It's there. But by his grace and mercy, you see his characteristics. You see what he has for us. You see his love for us. You see his love for who he is. He is love. He is the source of love. As we look in 1 John, he is love. Anything that we see in this world that is a picture of love is just a lesser reflection of him. We get the results of those things. That's the what, but it's the who that we see in love. It's a beautiful thing. So we have him wanting to communicate with us. And then we have him coming down and walking amongst us and teaching us and being with us and showing who God is in person. And it doesn't stop there, as you know. And I'll repeat starting in 7, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to become obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross. Why would God do this for us? We who are so unworthy of him. He is so worthy. He is so magnificent. The creator of the universe. The one that knows every molecule in the universe. There's not one single rogue molecule. Talks to us. Came here as one of us. And then took the punishment that we rightly deserved so we can be with him forever. What does that say about him? Yes, we get the results of that, but what does that say about him? How are we living? Are we living in light of who he is? Or are we living in light of what we've been given? I think of many who are coming to the Lord just to fix their marriage or just to fix their financial situation or just to fix a disease or an illness or whatever it is. And sometimes in those things, the Lord has granted it. And so they came for peace. They got that moment of peace. But in this world, what happens when the next time happens? If they came just for the peace, and we're in a world that's promised devastation and decay and death and heartache and pain, when the next one comes, they're like, where is my God? He fixed this problem. Why do I have a problem now? It's because you don't know. It reminds me of, I just talked to Dr. Clark, Matt, Casey's husband. And Katie was battling some sickness. She hasn't been able to kick it. And he's like, take 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day and 200 milligrams of zinc. And we're just kind of just, that'll just help prevent things. And I was like, that's great. We have like, the emergency, that stuff that you put in the powder. And it doesn't taste too bad. And it's got like 1,000 milligrams of the vitamin C. And I'm like, sweet. Well, how much zinc does it have? And we need 200 milligrams. It says 2 milligrams. And I was like, wow. So she drinks 100 of these. But if I just gave her that vitamin, that emergency, and I was talking to Matt, and he says, Has she taken vitamin C and zinc? Oh, yeah. Yes, she is. Every day. That's how I picture our Christian walk. Do we seek him every day? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got my 2 milliliters of zinc. I did my prayer this morning. I read my devotion. I'm good. Do you guys understand what we just talked about with our God? The communication he desires from us. The love he's shown and the humility that he's shown in the God of the universe taking on a lowly form such as us. And then not only that, to go up there and pay the penalty that we rightly deserve on the cross. And we give him 2 milliliters of zinc. And we call it good. But I want you guys to know, even the Apostle Paul didn't get to the 200 milliliters of zinc. Let me read this back in chapter 3 right here. And I want you guys to hear this. I want you guys to hear this as a man who's in pursuit, like we should be in pursuit. A man who's desiring to know God like we should desire to know God. Chapter 3, starting in verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. All things. Skip to 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. And this is the part where I said he hasn't got the 200 milliliters of zinc. Not that I've already obtained it or I've already become perfect, but I press on. So that I may lay hold of that for which I have been laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's Christmas. That is Christmas. Do you hear me? He came to earth. We are looking at the beginning of this. We're seeing Christmas and we're seeing Easter. We're seeing his whole plan. His whole plan. And we're a part of it. We're going to go through how to seek him. Seek who in the what. And it's not going to take long. Turn to chapter 4. Here's a command in verse 4. Actually, I'm going to say command, command, promise, command, command. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We just talked about this dark world. We just talked about all the things that you guys are going through as a family, as a work, as a person, as an individual. And what are we commanded to do? Rejoice. If you don't know your God, that is absolute foolishness. And that's what the Bible tells us. That what we believe is foolishness to the world. What else? Next command. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The fruit of the Spirit comes from what? The Holy Spirit. Gentleness is part of that. We should be known by the Holy Spirit's fruit in us to all men. That makes no sense to the world. But we're called to do it. The next thing is a promise. The Lord is near. Now, if you take that in a sense that he's going to be here soon because of all the stuff, that would be kind of terrifying in a sense. do this because he's coming back. No, what this is saying, these words here, is that he's with you. He is near. You can be rejoicing in the Lord always, and you can be gentle in spirit, and it can be known to all men because he is near. He is with you. Then it gets tougher. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds into Christ Jesus. The command is be anxious for nothing. How often are we reminded of that? I was reminded of that multiple times as I had to come up here and preach. I was anxious about preaching about being anxious for nothing. Over and over. And I would laugh about it, and then I'd be anxious again. Like, oh, this is not going to be clear. But then there's real things that you guys are anxious about. This is a constant. This is why you need this blueprint. It comes in right here. What does he tell us when we are in anxiety, which is daily? And sometimes in heaps. What does he say? Here's the command. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The communication lines are there. And what happens when you pray, even in your feeble prayers that the Lord has to fix before he puts them at his feet? What does he promise? That was a command. What is the promise? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is a promise. And our God is faithful. When you're only taking 2 milliliters of zinc when you need 200 milligrams, you don't get this. The anxiety overwhelms. You're toast. He tells you to turn to him in prayer, but then there's more. But then there's more. And we're going to wrap it up with this. It's so beautiful. Finally, brethren.
Whoa.
I'm not as good with this. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, what is ever of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, here's the command, dwell on these things. Do you guys realize that there's nothing more true than the one who is the way, the truth, and the life? You dwell on him. There is nothing more honorable. And we can think of honorable things. You think of the soldier who died for our country. You think of the police officers. You think of so many honorable men and women and people. But yet, when you put them next to Christ, it pales in comparison. You dwell on him. Whatever is right. I don't need to go through all these. But you do. And I do again. But not right now. Whatever is lovely. There's nothing more lovely. Whatever is of good repute. Who has a better reputation than Christ? And if anything worthy of praise, he's worthy of every praise. So you pray to him, and then you dwell on him. And what do you get? This peace is what? Incomprehensible. It is, what does my Bible say? My Bible calls it without comprehension. That's why when you're in the midst of the worst of worst tragedies, our God is faithful to give you peace that makes no sense because of who he is. He's faithful in his promises. And I know that there's so many of you that are hurting. But this is who you seek for peace. This is who you seek. But you don't seek him for the peace. You seek him. And the result of that will be all the different things that he has promised. It's about him. So in this Christmas, in this time, I'm wondering, I'm asking, I'm thinking about you. And I wonder, are you anxious all the time? Do you have peace? Do you have the understanding of our God? Are you seeking to know him? And do you realize by prayer and growing in him and in his word, that is where there is true peace? It's not a temporary peace like a snowy thing where all of a sudden it melts and goes away. It's always there. And so as I titled this, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, I want you guys to realize that every one of us who is a believer, when we are seen, though our sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. When God sees us, he sees his son's righteousness. All his good deeds were credited to our account. So when God looks at us, instead of seeing us and all our garbage, he sees his son Jesus and all his righteousness. Every day is a white Christmas for a believer. Every day, even in Texas. So with that, I'd like to bring up Brother Gary and the praise band and ask you guys, if there's any one of you who doesn't know that God, or if there's any one of you who's stuck in the what and not the who. The reason why I put the what or the who and the what on your bulletins is because we all get stuck in the what. And we forget to focus on the who. And we say we're taking what we need, but we're not. But just know, we're just like Paul. But if you want to make a stand this Christmas, then tell your neighbor. Tell Brother Bob. Tell Brother Gary. Faux pas, sorry. Tell me. I want to see you guys live in this light, in this day, in this dark, dark, dark world, with the light that has been given by him. You will shine. You won't be able to help but talk about him. The more you know him, the more it will spew out of your mouth to whoever's around. I love you. And I pray for you, each and every one of you. I pray that this is a remembrance Christmas of the one who is worthy to be remembered. And I pray this is a proclamation Christmas of one who should be proclaimed. Thank you for this opportunity.
Hi, I'm Pastor Gary Ladd. It's our hope and our prayer that God's word has touched your heart today. Perhaps you'd like to ask God for his help in your life right now. Did you know that you can call on God's Holy Spirit to help you through prayer right now, right where you are? If you pray sincerely in faith, the Heavenly Father will hear your prayer. He'll hear your prayer of confession, of forgiveness, and for comfort. If you already know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you know that God wants you to be closer to Him, to draw you in closer, would you pray right now and ask God to forgive you of your sin and to draw you in close to Him, to that personal love relationship that God wants you to have? Did you know that God's Word tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if you'll confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins? If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart or into your life, dear friend, please do that today. He wants to have a personal love relationship with you. He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. If God's Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart right now, this is how you can receive Him as your Lord and Savior today. It's really a simple, a very simple process of faith called admit, believe, and confess. Admit that you're a sinner and that you need God's help. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that He came to this earth, that He lived His perfect life, that He died on the cross for your sin, and that He rose again so that He might prepare a place for you in heaven. And then the last thing that you need to do is confess. Confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, the boss of your life, and that He is your Savior. If you'd like to do that right now, you can pray a very simple prayer and invite Him into your life. If you would, just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to know You personally. I acknowledge that my sins have separated me from You. Please forgive me of those sins, Lord. Thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for me, to die in my place. And thank You, Father, that He rose again to be my Lord and my Savior. I now ask You to rescue me from my sin, and I place my faith in You alone for forgiveness and for eternal life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, and you prayed that prayer in faith, believing, then, dear friend, you've begun your spiritual walk with God through Jesus Christ. Please let us know about this, won't you? This is just the beginning, and we'd like to pray with you and for you and to help you to start your process of growing with Jesus Christ. Please contact the church offices of Grace Point at the email that you see right there on your screen. If you'd like to access other sermons or helps, or if you'd like to find out more about Grace Point Ministries, service times, Bible studies, youth or children's activities, please look us up at the website on your screen right now, gpf.church. Thank you for joining us for our worship broadcast today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.